Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. This message is by Kevin Vanderput.
Good morning, everyone. It's such a pleasure to be speaking to you guys, to be with you in some way this morning. And I'm so expectant for what God wants to say to us today. Anyone expectant in the room? I'm hearing yeses somehow. I hope there's some yeses in the room. Anyone expecting not just to hear the word, but to receive it, and maybe not just receive it, but actually to outwork it into our lives as well? See, there's a bit more than just a, but anyone ready to do that? Anyone willing to take that step this morning? I just want to pray as we start. Maybe Colin's prayed already, maybe not, who knows? It doesn't matter. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word that you have given us for this week. Lord, I thank you that we are in this series all about in Christ, who we are in Christ, who we are in you, and what that means for us. Lord, I pray that your truth would be spoken this morning and would land onto good soil, as a result would take root into people's life, and as a result of that, bear much fruit for your glory. Lord, I thank you for eyes and ears to be open and to receive. Would you do everything that you need to do today in us, in me included? Thank you, Lord. We surrender ourselves and submit ourselves to you right now. In your name we prayed. Amen. Amen. All right. I have a son, if you didn't know. I have a son. His name is Gabriel. He's 2 years old. And although he's only two, within his short little life, he's already mastered a skill or two, maybe. One is getting what he wants. He's very good at that. Didn't take him long to figure that out. He has many ways to do so. And the other one, the other skill he's mastered, I've noticed, is a skill I have entitled the copycat. He's a master copycat after 2 years of life. Anything you do, he'll do too. Well, it works particularly well with what I do, really. If I'm sitting on the floor, he'll sit on the floor. If I'm having ketchup with my food, he wants ketchup with his. If I'm driving the car, he wants to be driving the car, which poses a problem very often because there's only one steering wheel in the car, so he gets frustrated a lot. But like just the other day even, we were eating spaghettis, right? And we cut his spaghetti because it's much easier for him to eat it that way, but we don't cut ours because we tried to do it like the Italians do. So he noticed we're not really eating spaghetti in the same way. And so he started to try to twirl, turn, twist, whatever you say, twist his fork, whatever you do with the fork when you eat the spaghetti. So they wrap around the fork and you eat the pasta like that. So he was trying so hard, but obviously we had cut his spaghetti, so he couldn't do it. And he got frustrated with that too. See, I knew that kids did that in my head somewhere, but I never realized the extent of it. Like it's just endless. Like with the smallest things as well, he will mimic ways of talking, of walking, of gestures, everything. Actually, we were here in Horsham when Pastor Clive shared a message that was on the screen recently. And the whole time Pastor Clive, you know, uses his hands when he's talking like we all do. And Gabriel was going like this, trying to reproduce all the gestures he was making. So it goes into everything. But particularly with me, he wants to do everything that I do. There's a desire in him to be like his dad. And that puts a lot of responsibility, I've noticed, on me as well. I have to watch what I do. So he wants to be like his dad. He wants to do like his dad. And I want to start with this verse found in Romans today. It says in Romans 8:29, it says this: "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Let me read that again. "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Now, we've talked over the last few weeks all across our congregations about amazing truths that apply to our life in Christ. One of them was the fact that we were chosen to be in God This scripture points back to that, right? He foreknew, he predestined us to be in him so we could be brothers and sisters with Christ. How amazing is that? But he did so for a purpose. Did you see that? He did so for a purpose to be what? To be conformed to the image of his son. The definition, I looked it up, of conforming is to behave according to the standard of behavior expected by a group or society. To behave according to the standard of behavior expected by a group or society. Now, in our case, it isn't a group or a society. It's God's standard, right? And it was set for us by his son, Jesus, on earth. Our purpose on this earth, thus, is to be able to be an extension of who Jesus was. After all, Christian means little Christ. Just like Gabriel wants to be like his dad, me, there's a desire that should animate us as believers to be like Jesus. To be image bearers of Jesus in this world. Now, I know what you're thinking. Gabe can't do everything I do just yet. And Jesus is that much harder to imitate than I might be. How can we do everything Jesus did? Be like him, project an accurate image of Jesus to this world. Well, here's the first problem, I think, at least. We often start in our minds down here, let's say, trying to attain this standard set by Jesus that is way up there. I don't know if this is still in the camera shot. Way up there, way up there. I don't know if you think the same, but I think that's how we often start. I don't know if anyone has used this in your congregation in previous week. If so, apologies, but it's so key to understand it. So imagine this little graph is going to pop up on your screen as technology does. This little graph with me where it's made up of two axes. We have an x-axis where we have our performance right there on the x-axis. Then we have a y-axis where we have our position in Christ. Now, Christ's work, you see, was so complete that when we placed our faith in him, our position was forever established in the Spirit. It's way up there, like a constant line that cannot be moved. See, the mistake we make is to focus on our performance that might be way down here at the start of the graph. And our mind is fixated on the fact that we are down here and we need to climb all the way up to be like Jesus. But that's not what the word says. Right? That's not what it says. So we want to take a closer look at what Jesus has done for us and what it means. I know we've done a lot of that over the past few weeks, but we're going to focus especially today on holiness because that's what we are really talking about. That's what kind of encompasses everything. Holiness means to be set apart. To be set apart. And as we can see from this verse in Romans, we've been set apart for a purpose. To be like Christ and project Christ to the world. So a holy person is one that is set apart for God. And whatever is set apart for him must be pure because God is pure. And so holiness also means purity or being pure. But here's the thing. Holiness isn't something we could ever have achieved on our own. No matter the amount of effort that someone puts into it, they cannot make themselves holy. Look, there's some good people in this world, right? They are generous, they are smart, they are honest, they are whatever, they are kind, they are loving, but they will undoubtedly fall short of the standard that God has set for holiness. And that's because there's only one way for his creation to be brought into holiness, and that is through Jesus. It says in Hebrews 10, verse 9 and 10, it says this, then he said, here I am, I have come to do your will. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. See, this is the amazing thing, right? Jesus came to accomplish his Father's will on earth, and he did that. He did that perfectly. He lived a perfect life, set a perfect example through it. And then he took his cross. He died on it, took all our sins with him, resurrected 3 days later, having conquered both death and sin. And in that process brought us a freedom that we could never have found on our own. How amazing is that? Maybe we should just stop there and start praising Jesus again. But the choice of tense here is so key. I want you to notice this. It says we have been made holy. Not we will be made holy or anything like that. And just in case you doubted it when you first read it, the verse finishes saying once and for all. Once and for all. So there's really no question about it. As far as God is concerned, you are holy, I am holy, we are a holy people. If I go back to our graph, this is part of our position. This holiness is part of our position way up here. That's what's been established for us. So we are not down here trying to get up there. We are starting from up there. And that's a game changer, right? Because I'm not down here, woe is me, little Kevin, trying to climb some impossible mountain of holiness of some kind. And finally, when I get to the top, I'm like, oh, I can be happy. I am holy like Jesus was. And all of that done in my own effort, by the way, which would be impossible as we've established. But I start up here already. That's my starting position. I am seated in heavenly places. The word says co-heir with Christ. That changes everything. We are up here. Up here. That's our position in Christ. Every believer starts there. We have been given the ability to be holy, to carry out holiness, to be like Christ. And all of it is nothing, nothing that we have done, that we could have done to get up there. It's all been given to us by God's grace. See, when placing our faith in Christ and submitting our lives to God, we died. Like you died, you were dead, right? And don't worry, that's actually good news. Pastor Colin used to say that a lot, actually. You're dead. And that's a good thing. I always found it, you know, it grabs you a little bit. But because everything of the old life needed to die, right? And you died, the old died, and you are now a new creation, alive in Christ. Let me quote Pastor Colin Urquhart, actually. He used to say it like this. It is Jesus himself who is to be proclaimed, for he is the way to the Father. Only in him can people be presented perfect before God through the work of his cross. You have been given to Jesus and placed in him by the Father, that he might present you back to him holy and blameless in his sight. That's well put. Pastor Colin had a way with words. Now, I know what you might be thinking, Kev, that's all great. Awesome what you say. But I know for a fact that there are some parts of me that don't really seem holy to me. So what's going on there? Well, if we read on in Hebrews, just a few verses after the one we just read, in chapter 10, verse 14, it says this, by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Notice the choice of tense there again. Being made holy. Hold on, but I thought I was made holy already. The perfect sacrifice of Jesus made us perfect and acceptable to God. We are blameless in his sight, the word says. But by his Spirit and our submission to his will, we are also being made holy. The reality is this, right? Your new nature in Christ is perfect and holy already. That's a given by God's grace, as we've said. But what is true for us in the Spirit must also work its way through to our soul and body. See, as humans, we're made of three distinctive parts, the Spirit, the soul, and the body. Now, the human spirit comes alive when we give our life to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit then starts working through our human spirit and begins His work on the soul, changing, transforming, molding, purifying, healing, and that process takes time. It marks the maturing, the growth of a Christian. You have to remember this, right? We have been conditioned by the world for many, many years. And so some things need to shift, but we have a new nature. And as our soul responds to that new nature and allows it to be expressed in our lives, we will manifest more and more of that perfection and holiness. How amazing is that? We will become more and more conformed to the image of Christ. As the verse we started with in Romans, we need to be conformed to the image of His Son. And that happens as we manifest more and more of that perfection and holiness. So there is an orderly way of living, if you'd like, and that's with the spirit at the wheel, with the soul and body under that authority. The more our bodies and our soul come under the influence of the authority of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the more that holiness will become apparent through us. The truth is this. This is again from Pastor Colin Urquhart's book. Jesus has set us free from what you were in the old life, alienated from God, bound by sin, under judgment of death. But now you are made one with God through Jesus, through His death and through His risen life in which you now share. You can affirm that again and again. Remind yourself constantly of what has been done for you. You are set free and you are made holy by all that Jesus has done for you. That is the truth. And I love that he put in there, you can affirm that again and again. Because some days it might not feel like it, but that is our position. Remind yourself of that position. Maybe we should all say it right now. I am set free. Well, hold on. Let's do this back. Repeat after me, right? I'll say I am set free. You say I am set free. Then I'll say I am holy. You'll say you are holy. Oh, I am holy. Okay. All right. Let's try that. Repeat after me. I am set free. I am holy. Great. Continue affirming that again and again, for that is the truth of what Jesus is, not what you have done in any way, remember that, but what Jesus has done for you. I want to take a little different spin on this. I want to take us back to the Old Testament for a minute, because I want to try and illustrate some of this in a different way. We're going to turn to Genesis 12. If you have your Bible, go there. I'll give you a minute. But how many of you know that in the Old Testament, you'll often see a physical manifestation of something that is now a spiritual reality for us to live in. A physical manifestation, so whatever, there was a temple, a physical temple. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. So there's a spiritual reality. There was a physical manifestation of that reality in the Old Testament. Anyway, in Genesis 12, we see Abram, not yet Abraham, Abram, later known as Abraham, of course, being called out of his household, people, and country. I want to read what it says. We'll start from, I believe it's verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Not even telling him where he's going. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan and they arrived there. What is happening here? God took Abram out of all these things. Imagine for a minute, because we read it like that so easily, so casually, but imagine being taken out of everything you've known. The people that were closest to you, the culture you grew around, the habits that you've built. all that not to know where you are going either. What was God up to there? It's so important to understand what is happening around that time in the Bible. See, if you look at the previous chapter, chapter 11, Genesis 11, we have the story of the Tower of Babel. People basically define God by trying to elevate themselves above everything else. And God has to intervene and kind of step in so that they do not succeed in building that. But the desire there for people involved in that whole story was to make a name for themselves. They say, let's go and make a name for ourselves. That sounds familiar, right? How many people today spend a lot of time trying to make a name for themselves? Sounds familiar. But we can see that the civilization at work around the time of Abraham was not carrying a heart for God. The values there, the culture there was not good. So what does God do? He takes Abraham out of that environment, removes him from everything that could influence him and change who he is completely. He gives Abraham a new name, Abraham. Abraham, he makes him a father, gives him a new country, a new identity, makes him a new person, essentially. What God is doing is raising a man and then a people coming from that man that will be set apart for his purposes. A people that would be marked by God's influence rather than the world's influence. I was watching this preach by this guy called James. He's great. And he was saying this: God transformed Abraham, raised him up so he could start a revolutionary movement, a resistance in opposition to everything that the world stood for at the time. Did you get that? Raise a people that would be his image bearer and oppose everything that the world stood for. But again, Abraham could not have done that on his own, right? God did that for him. He changed him. He gave him a new name, a new country. He stripped him off of everything he knew that was influenced by the world he was in. And he became Abraham, a father with a father in heaven who led him wherever he went and in whatever he did. Do you see the parallel with us? We have been brought out of the world, of under its influence, of under its culture. We have been given a new nature, right? When we gave our life to Jesus, we are made new. We have been given a new nature. We died, the old is dead. So we can now come back to life a new person. He gives us a new identity, one that is heavenly, where we are now in relationship with the Father, our Heavenly Father. And what does the Heavenly Father do? He leads us in His ways, the ways of everlasting, the Word says. And that's how, just like Abraham, we become part of a resistance movement on this earth. We're here, don't get me wrong, but we're not from here anymore. We're from up there. John 15, 19 says this: if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, for I have chosen you out of this world. See, there's direct opposition between us and the world and our resistance against his principle or the principles ruling the world is led by holiness. Our resistance against the principles of the world is led by holiness, by purity, by a yielding of our will to God's will and his purposes for us. Again, Pastor Colin Urquhart says this, I'm going to quote him quite a bit in this. I don't know which quote we are at, number two, maybe number three. I don't know, but it's great. That is why the great commission that Jesus gave his church was to go and make disciples of all nations. Not simply converts, but those who would follow truly and faithfully the way of Jesus, the way of holiness, living a life set apart for God. This is the only wise course for the Christian. For if he tries to live independently from the Spirit, he will only grieve the Lord and miss many of the riches God intended for him. It is not just about being a convert, about proclaiming Jesus, but it's about faithfully following the way of Jesus, essentially conforming to his image, which is what we started with. So we conform to his image by living like he did, outworking his holiness in us. His holiness, so our being set apart. We outworking this setting apart. And that looks like something, right? Pastor Clive shared a few weeks back his vision about the highway of holiness being built and what was required for that. If you haven't seen that, go on our YouTube channel. You'll find a little thumbnail with Pastor Clive's face on it. It'll be great. You can catch up. But we are called, right? That's why he was sharing. We are called to be part of building this highway of holiness. But let me tell you this, we cannot build the highway unless we have the lifestyle necessary to live on it first, right? See, again, righteousness is God's gift to us. We couldn't have made ourselves right before God. Granted, we agree, impossible. By his grace and his grace alone, have we been made holy? 100%. Our position is there and it won't change. It's established in Christ, but the outworking of that position still matters. How much we let that holiness be outworked in our actions, in our minds, in our priorities matters. And holiness means purity, but it also means being set apart. That means that you've been set apart for God, but you've also been set apart from some things. And that's so important to realize, because you saying yes here means having to say no to a lot of stuff. It means living differently than the world. It means having said yes to being part of a resistance movement where your life is no longer your own, but you belong to God and you go where he goes and you say what he says and you do as he does and you conform to the image of his son. So actually people don't see you, they see Jesus. Ah, this is getting me excited. I hope you're getting excited in the room, because this is good. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter 1 says this, verse 15 and 16. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Be holy because I'm, again, that call to live out that holiness, that set apartness, that purity of heart and mind. God calls you to be holy. He does not want you to rejoice in what God has done for you without also allowing his purpose to be worked out in you. To live a life that is set apart for God and dedicated to him. This is Pastor Colin again, by the way. Dedicated to him means that you have, listen to this, that you have yielded any rights that you thought you ever had to live your life on your own, in your own way. It is now his life to be lived his way, that you might manifest his love and continue to receive his riches that he gives you by his grace. Do you see how much of the focus is on God now? We are dead. Right? We are no longer, our lives is no longer our own. We now live by faith in Christ. That means it's all about him. So any thought we had of how to live our lives, our own lives, in our own ways, we have now yielded that, submitted that, given that up. You know, we often say, we lay our crowns down, whatever the song is. That's what we've done. We've laid everything down and giving it to Jesus. And it is now his life to be lived his way, that you might manifest his love and continue to receive his riches that he gives you by his grace. Thank you, Lord. That's a good thing. Trust me. Colossians 1, 22 and 23 says this. Listen to this. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Again, that truth there. Holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. That is you. That doesn't change. If you continue in your faith, it says, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, then this is the gospel that you have heard and has been proclaimed to you, creature under heaven, to every creature, sorry, under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now, I don't know if you read this the same way I did. But again, we see this beautiful truth expressed. we are presented holy in His sight. Great. But it also says this, do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. It implies, at least in my mind, that we can move away from it. How dangerous is that thought? That we can let that hope be somehow contaminated by the things of this world. That we can settle for something less than everything it has to offer. That we can let the image that we bear become a mixture of things with a little Jesus in it. Holiness means to be set apart, completely removed. Like Abraham was, we are to be removed from the world so we can resist its tendencies, but also so we can invade it from heaven with a pure and strong resistance movement. As we finish, I want to read one verse again. It says, just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. When I think of our holiness, our set apartness, our purity of mind and heart, I think all of that is often, can often be polluted by the things of this world. As I was writing this, preparing for this, the word double-minded came to mind again and again. What is a double-minded person? It seems to be a term that was coined by James, because I don't think it appears in many places, but it appears in the book of James. And James says the following in chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. When you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, because such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Double-minded and unstable in all they do. See, the doubting person is blown and tossed around. The Greek word they use for double-mindedness is, I'm gonna butcher this, dipsuchos. If there's a Greek in the room, correct me. Meaning a person with two minds or two souls. It's like the old nature and the new nature are at war with each other. And we constantly have a choice, to be fair. One please the flesh, the other the spirit. And we cannot ever please both. Do you realize that, right? Before you became a new creature, you had your new nature come to life in Christ. In your old nature, you had no choice. You had no authority over what was going on. You were under the law of sin and death, under the rule of this world, right? No possibility of it. That was your nature, sinful. That was my nature, sinful. But now we have been given a new nature, which gives us the ability to reflect Jesus and His holiness, but that still has to be outworked in our decision-making, right? We have a decision to make again and again, whether to please the flesh or please the spirit, and we cannot ever please both. They are in direct opposition with one another. And understanding that our old nature is dead, like this no longer has a hold on you. You can choose to go and do it, but you don't have to do it. It no longer has a hold on you, right? So when thoughts appear that are in opposition with what the Spirit is saying, you reckon yourself dead. That's no longer who I am. That whole thing is dead. You reckon yourself dead and you continue to walk in the Spirit. Jesus declared this, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. God and the things of this world are of such opposite nature that it is impossible to love either one completely without hating the other. It's impossible. Those who try to love both are double-minded. They will become unstable in their ways. See, we've been made holy. And at this time, there's a there's a fresh call, I believe, from God to His church to walk out that holiness in a fresh new ways, to come up higher, to come up higher, to come up on the highway of holiness, to live that out, that set apartness like never before. And that means to say no to a lot of things. It has a cost. It has a cost. A lot of things that actually the world has been really good, very good at making us think are important. A lot of things are important, the world is saying, or at least they seem so. But what really matters, what has eternal values, are the things of God, not the things of this world. And would you rather please God or the things of this world? So we cannot be double-minded. Our eyes are fixed on Jesus. There's only one thing that matters, right? Mary, Martha. There's only one thing that matters, and that is you. I fix my eyes on you. I have one goal. My life is laser-focused on the things of you, the things of eternal values. That is what working out that holiness looks like, that set-apartness. I'm set apart. I'm on a different track. I hope you are getting this somehow. I want to finish with one last quote from Pastor Colin. I have no idea how long I've been talking for, but hopefully you're still breathing, you're still awake, and there's a little stirring inside of your spirit because your spirit is responding to the word that God is sharing with us. It says this in the book In Christ Jesus, God has made you a saint. You are holy, set apart person. And yet, that holiness has to be worked out in your character, behavior, attitudes, action, conversation. You still have a natural life, but you also have a supernatural life in Christ. And God desires that you live in the power of that supernatural life. Holiness is not reflecting human goodness alone. It is reflecting Jesus. And that is only possible because He has given you His Holy Spirit to live within us. As we learn to live in the power of the Spirit, we can demonstrate in practical ways what it means to live for God and for God to live in us. God has made you a saint so that you can live as a saint. He does not ask you to become one, but to reflect more and more of that saintliness that you have in Christ Jesus. Told you, Pastor Colin had a way with words, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. You and I are saints. And there's a call for us to live like a saint, to work out that holiness. We are holy. Our position is there. Never forget that. Affirm that again and again. This is who I am. And sure, our performance can vary. Sure, there are times where we sin, where we fall short, where things happen. But our position doesn't change. We are up there, co-heir with Christ. And more as we submit ourselves to His will for our lives, to His purposes, to His set apartness that He has called us to, we conform more and more to the image of His Son. And we start projecting more and more Jesus when we're out of these doors. And that's where we can fulfill the Great Commission. That's where things happen, when people start seeing Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to pray. I don't know exactly how we're gonna do this response time, but maybe you wanna just stand with me for a minute. I believe that at this time, like I said, there's a fresh call for us to come up higher, where God is asking His church to not be on the back foot in any way, but to actually take his word seriously and respond and let that response manifest in our lives. The outworking of that manifest in our lives. I don't know what that means exactly for you. I know what it means for me. But there's a fresh surrender that is needed of who we are, of what matters to us. There's a fresh reminding that is needed, perhaps, that you are set apart, that you have a purpose. Listen, we don't want to waste what God has done. We've spent in vital days, we are in vital days, chasing the same things as the world. Having a mixture of both within us when we project an image to the world. But we've been brought out of it so that we can bring others out of it. A resistance movement of holiness that spreads heaven on this earth. That is what you are called to be a part of. So let's pray. Let's pray. Just if you're standing, great. If you're not, you should, if you're able to. Let's just pray. Just start praying in tongues if you can. Thank you, Lord. Shete katara ba ande de baha sete de de. Shordo mondoro kotora ba ante de ba ande de de. Father, I thank you that there is a fresh surrender that you are asking of us. And that's a good thing. Lord, would you find us willing and responding to that right now? I surrender my life afresh to you. Just say that in your own words to God right now. I surrender who I am, what matters to me, my priorities, my agendas, my everything. I surrender everything afresh into your hand. Lord, here I am, use me. Here I am, mold me, shape me. Let that holiness that you have provided for me, made available to me, be outworked in my life, in my soul, in my body, in my actions, in my thinking. Let everything that I do and think and say reflect your holiness, reflect a set apartness for you and your purpose. Would I conform to the image of your Son and represent you on this earth properly? Father, I thank you that you are raising up a resistance movement at this time. A resistant movement of holiness that will spread heaven across earth. Lord, would we be as a church at the forefront of that movement? At the forefront of that movement, carrying who you are to the world. Lord, revive us. Shape us, mold us. Let your consuming fire burn away everything that is not of you. However it matters to us or seemingly is important to us. Lord, would you rearrange things in a holy order so that we could be the servants that you have called us to be, fulfilling the mission that you have called us to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Maybe continue to pray for a minute. I'll hand over to Colin and he can carry on in the room. Or if you're watching this in Crawley, I'll hand over to whoever's leading the meeting there. But I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing at this time in us as a body. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Just keep praying for a minute. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.